Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God I will lay on your hearts today comes from the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, verses 10 to 17, as follows. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So far the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, united we stand, divided we fall. These are very patriotic words often used in our country from the beginning of our nation's birth. In fact, I think it was Benjamin Franklin who said, "We must hang together, gentlemen, else we shall most assuredly hang separately." Got to stick together, otherwise it's not going to work. And here we are today, celebrating and enjoying the freedoms we enjoy in our great nation. Gifts from the Lord, certainly. Divided we stand, united we fall. The same holds true spiritually of the teachings of the Bible, of the Word of God. United we stand, divided we fall. In our text for today, Paul makes a case to a Christian congregation there in Corinth, a congregation that was going through all kinds of problems, that had all kinds of difficult questions to be answered by a preacher named Paul. So he writes them this letter. He addresses the problems that were going on in those congregations. Problems that confront just about every congregation, sooner or later. We are not, here at St. John's, a problem-free congregation. We are sinners living in a sinful world. We come together here on a Sunday morning to carry out our praises to our wonderful God, to bring praises to Him who so loved us that He sent His Son to pay the price of our sins. We gather together in genuine church fellowship, an outward show of unity of faith, to support one another. Because it is true with us, too, united we stand, divided we would fall. However, the fall would be much greater than it would be if you're just talking about a country here on earth. Dividing or falling away from the Word of God has long-term damning effects on our souls. And so we unite over the true teachings of God's Word. We keep that Word of God centered where it always should be, the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's always the center of every worship service that we conduct here. It's always the center of all of our Christian conversations. It's because through the cross, Jesus has done so much for us. Through the cross of Christ, the Word of God comes down from on high by the Holy Spirit to remind us and enlighten us on the reasons we are who we are, united in genuine church fellowship outwardly, here at St. John's. So our theme today is enlightened by the cross of Christ. It unites us in genuine love. It brings an end to all factions, and it guides us into all true wisdom. That's what the cross does for us. Enlightened by the cross of Christ, the cross that unites us in genuine love. Genuine love is what Paul is expressing here when he says, speak the same thing, be united. He addresses us twice in these verses as brothers. Now I plead with you, brethren, as one brother to another brother, so close that we are united with a bond of family. And our family, of course, as God's dear children, is much more close than any earthly family, even though there are a lot of close earthly families. And that's a blessing when your earthly family is close, isn't it? You can talk to your parents, your siblings, because your nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, if everybody gets along well, it's a wonderful blessing. But it doesn't always happen, does it? Not in earthly families. Here, the apostle encourages that this should not happen here in this family. No divisions should occur. In fact, what Paul's talking about here is our confession of faith, what we believe in and what it is based on. Paul says, and he uses the fact that he says, I plead with you, and it's by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that he uses that reference, he's showing his sincerity and how serious he is that he wants us to do these things. What should we do? Speak the same thing. All of us. All speak the same thing. You know, you could put a period here and we'd get it, wouldn't we? Maybe we wouldn't. Maybe the Holy Spirit knew that we needed to be reminded that when it comes to our confession, it has to be the same confession, always based on God's Word. Departure from that Word in the smallest bit takes away from the cross of Christ. So the Holy Spirit, out of love, adds a phrase, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you. Again, a period there probably would have done it. And I would have noticed the emphasis. So would have you. It would have been said twice. No divisions. But the emphasis goes on. But that you be perfectly joined together. Again, another period there. And boy, three times. He's serious. But he goes on. In the same mind. Period. In the same judgment. Finally comes the period. In Bible class this morning, we talked about this teaching of church fellowship and what a blessing it is to be able to come in here on a Sunday morning, sit down, and know that you're not going to be in disagreement about what is being preached to you today, because we have the same confession. We are of the same mind and the same judgment. We are perfectly joined together. There's no divisions among us in what we confess, in what we believe, teach, and confess. How is that possible? Well, most mainline Christian churches today don't even try to get that done. They say that's impossible. So they end up having like five or six important Bible teachings that you have to agree on in order to be a member of that church. Because after all, no one can understand everything in the Bible, and everybody's got their own interpretation anyway. But that's not true. There's only one right interpretation of Scripture. There's only one Spirit-intended meaning behind every verse. And God would not ask us, through the Apostle Paul here, to have no divisions among us, to be perfectly joined together. The Holy Spirit wouldn't have used that emphasis if he wasn't serious about us having the same confession, believing the same things, even being able to have the ability to do those things. He's serious, isn't he? And what unites us along our pathway of finding out what the Word says and sticking with it, and no matter what temptations come our way, what unites us is the love that God has shown us in the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ. You know, Paul only mentions that way at the end of the text where he says, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. When is the cross of Christ made of no effect? Whenever man decides to put his thoughts or his feelings and into what God says, that's when the cross of Christ is made of no effect. What is it that saves people? Isn't it the Word? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Why would I want to speak 1,000 words to a group of people of my own when I can just say a few of God's Word and know that the power is working in their hearts and lives to save them? The Holy Spirit is working through that Word to convince them of His truths. Nothing detracts from the cross of Christ when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we as His children believe, teach, confess, practice that same Word. It's got some very positive benefits for our lives. I know I said it before, but I'll say it again. It's just like our immune system when it's working right. It keeps those pesky viruses and bacteria at bay. Those things that would invade our body, your immune system that God gave you as a gift fights them off. God gives us the gift of church fellowship so that we can be united and be on one course, the same mind, the same judgment, following the Word of Christ. And we can use that immune system of church fellowship to help each other when error would rear its ugly head among us, when the world around us would ask us why we are such strict practicing Lutherans when there's so many other different kinds of Lutherans you could be. It's not that we're strict. It's just we're out of love, following God's commands and realizing the blessings that come from it. One of the blessings is that it ends factions. The cross of Christ, when we follow God's Word correctly, it ends up giving each one of us the ability to put aside our feelings and our personality conflicts, anything that doesn't have to do with the Word of God, neither commanded nor forbidden by God. Well, we have the freedom to allow things to go on the way, let people think what they want to think. We don't have to let them divide us. You know, later on in Corinthians, when you read on, they were, like I said, they were a congregation with troubles. They were having problems with communion. And you think, well, what kind of problems was that? Well, communion in the New Testament church was a little different than we have it today. See, they passed out communion during potluck. We have potluck once a month. Could we pass out communion during potluck and celebrate it then? Sure, we could. It would be different. But we could. That's what the Corinthians were doing. The problem was there were factions among them. You see, cliques, we call them. The rich people were hanging with the rich people. The poor people were with the poor people. So when they had their potluck, the rich people ate sumptuously, the poor people didn't have anything. So when they handed out communion, poor people didn't have any bread or wine. So they couldn't celebrate communion. But they were keeping away from each other. So Paul brings them this word and says, don't be divided. Don't divide yourself. Don't have nothing to do with factions in the church. In our text, the enlightenment of the cross reminds us of that. Paul says, someone told on him. Chloe's household. When you read this, you think, Paul got a report from Chloe's household. But this is loving Christian discipline. So that's not telling on him. No doubt Chloe's household probably addressed the issue in the congregation, but it didn't work. So Chloe told the Apostle Paul, who wasn't there, and that's why the Apostle Paul takes pen in hand, inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes these things down, and you and I can benefit from it. So we are. We're studying that word today. We're seeing where Paul says, now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. These were different preachers, right? Cephas was a preacher. Apollos is mentioned in the Bible as a man who was particularly gifted as an orator, spoke well. People were dividing themselves up, saying, well, I'm following this man, or I'm following this man, I'm following this man. And one group of people said, oh, well, you're not following these men, we're following Christ. So they felt real good about themselves. So you see, they were dividing up. And Paul says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Mostly he uses his own self as an example. And then he goes on to say, well, I thank the Lord that I didn't baptize very many, and he lists the ones he did baptize. And then he says kind of a strange thing. Did you hear this at the end? Was Paul Christ or were you baptized? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. So what he's saying is, Christ did not, in verse 17, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. What? You weren't sent to be to baptize? That is the Great Commission, right? Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He did baptize some, but that wasn't his main mission, to go out and baptize. So Paul was trying to head off any divisions, any factions that wanted to develop over who was baptized by who and who's following who because of that. Doesn't sound like anything we would do, does it? Or does it? See, we still got that sinful nature in our hearts. The one that wants to look at the way the pastor parts his hair or what he does differently from another pastor. Said, oh, I like this guy, but I don't like this guy. When really what we should be looking at is what is preached. Is the gospel preached? Is the individual faithful to the teaching and preaching of God's word? If that is true, then all the other things goes by the wayside. And Paul, that's what Paul's encouraging here. If you start adding things to the word of God or taking away things from God's word, then you are making the cross of no effect. Rather, let the power of God's word come through. And that ends all factions. Enlightened by the cross, factions come to an end. And they can start here in my heart with my us and them mentality. They can come to an end because I know that Christ didn't have an us and them mentality when he came down here to earth. He came down here to save all sinners, the entire world, from their sins. We too, empowered by that love for us, can show it to each other. We can end our factions, and we can be guided into the true wisdom of God's word. The apostles' primary job? Preach the gospel. It's your primary job too. And you know what? You haven't baptized very many people either. Maybe you have. It's the Great Commission. Every Christian everywhere has the authority and the ability to baptize, don't we? But we as a congregation have come together and called one individual to make sure that gets done. You called your pastor to do it. So usually the pastor does a baptism, but every once in a while you get to do one. If there's an emergency or if the pastor's not available, every Christian can perform a baptize. It's very simple. Get water. Pour it on whoever's being baptized and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's a valid baptism before God in heaven. Faith is given through that powerful word of God in and with the water as a sacrament. What a blessing that is. Paul doesn't put down the sacrament, but he puts down factions that are associated with it. Anything that detracts and from the cross of Christ, anything that gets added. Rather, he guides us into the true wisdom, the gospel. Paul said he was sent to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, not with man's wisdom. He didn't want that cross to be of no effect. Rather, use the word of God. Later, in the book of Romans, he wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. The word, the cross of our Savior Jesus Christ enlightens our hearts too, to realize that that's where true wisdom lies. Every time we have a problem in our lives and an issue going on with something that's challenging our faith, we are led back to the word and we are reminded where genuine truth is found, where the love and grace of our great God is waiting for us to unwrap it like another gift every day. United we stand, divided we fall. We've been enlightened by the cross of Christ today, and we will be every day, that the word of God is taught in its truth and purity from this pulpit. Let's be united in the genuine love that word brings. Let's end any faction, beginning with my own heart and your own heart, and anything else that might be happening among us. Let's put all those things aside and continue to be guided by the cross of Christ into all true wisdom. Let's keep our focus on the wisdom of sins forgiven, on the wisdom of life eternal, all through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.